Insurance.
We're still in the middle of processing the crime scene, and we don't want to compromise it by just rushing up and just trying to identify who the deceased people are. If we ever get to find it out, it will take months to figure out. We were on scene within probably 3 to 5 minutes.
Here we go again, everybody. Hope you're having an excellent couple of days here fighting the crowds for the holiday shopping. Not a great day in Nevada. Two dead in a shooting at a medical facility there. Boy, you hate to hear this kind of stuff. I say it all the time around the holidays. So what made this person decide that this is the day that I'm going to go in here and wreak havoc and go after someone? Was it a targeted shooting or not? It certainly seems that way anyway. So a guy with a gun and another person killed at this shooting near the renowned regional medical center in Reno, Nevada. I've actually been by there when I spent some time in Tahoe. Those two areas are near each other, Reno and Lake Tahoe. So the shooter died of a self-inflicted gun wound, you know, gunshot wound. Familiar, huh? And then the other thing is, two other people were wounded and are in critical condition. My last check, that's exactly how they stayed, or the condition they're in right now. Kat Racco was a technician who worked on the second floor, and I happened to catch her today, and she said she heard large booms and then the sound of running feet just above her. The shooter opened fire, went into a neurology office, and that's where he opened fire. And there were people in the office that were being seen when the shooting happened, and they, at first when they just heard the noise, they thought something had fallen or someone had fallen. But police were there pretty quickly, and what do they tell people? Lock the doors. Don't let anyone in. And that's what happened in some of these other floors. So they got everyone out that they could. They moved into a catwalk between the building and a parking garage. And, you know, you're trying to sort it out in the middle of it, which you could hear there at the top. Tom Robinson talking about the, you know, unknown and no motive at this point and whatnot. There were dozens of witnesses. So the good news is they can piece it all together. But the bad news is the shooter, of course, does the cowardly thing after destroying some lives and shoots himself. So there were students, there were staff, there was faculty, all that kind of stuff, because there's also university learning going on there. And the medical center is really the only level 2 trauma center in that area of Nevada. And they've got a children's hospital there. So, and they do a lot of, why you would have the students, they do a lot of clinical research trials. But the key thing here is that a lot of people, different kinds of people, are at this hospital. And so something happened to make this guy decide that, you know, this was the day that he was going to go into this center, and he was going to go after either some people or randomly do it. Who knows? Still at this hour, they don't know very, very much. In the meantime, let's get all the nonsense out of the way at the top, and then we're talking about, speaking of nonsense, the budget. But a lot of you have sent me emails, and we're going to go to the mailbag next, about this Colorado shooter, and what did I know about the shooter? Carl Pearson is his name. And coming up in this hour, we're going to talk with Jeff Cass. And Jeff Cass is a guy who was on the scene at Columbine, one of the first reporters. And he's written a lot about that, and he's become an expert on mass shootings and also some of the school shootings just in general. And he shares his thoughts on what should change, what could change, and will we be talking about, hopefully in the future, more shootings that are stopped instead of shootings that go forward. But Carl Pearson had an agenda, and the more that they dig on this one, he had written plans to attack at least 5 areas of the high school as well, you know, so that's what it had said in the plans that they found. And then on his arm, so it showed that on his arm, he had the Latin phrase for the die has been cast. He'd written five letters, numbers on the arm, corresponding with the library and classrooms near it. So they think that that's what his intention was to, he was going to do. He was going after the librarian slash teacher, who was the head of the debate team, who ran the debate team. So the police say, you know, you go back to Friday, the shooting happened in the afternoon, you know, around 12:30. He walked into high school. He had a pump action shotgun, a machete, a backpack with three Molotov cocktails and ammunition across his chest. And he was randomly firing into school hallways, and he shot 17-year-old Claire Davis in the head, and she's in critical condition still, although they're having... today they have hope that the brain is not swelling as much and maybe she's going to survive. This one can only pray and hope that that happens. He did set off one of the fire bombs in the school library. Then he killed himself in the back corner of the library. He wanted revenge. And this is one of the things Jeff Cass will talk about. The people that are doing this, for the most part, they want revenge for being bullied, for being the outcast, for those kinds of reasons, for not getting what they want. And this, they believe, was what it was here. So the girl that was hit at the high school was just a random victim, as far as they can tell. But there was clearly a motive here. Clearly that he was going after that teacher. And what could ever make that happen? And the parents, of course, have no answers. Everybody wants answers for them, and they have no answers as to that any of this was going on. They had any idea whatsoever. And because he couldn't find the person on the faculty, he killed himself with the school resource officer was getting closer. So thank goodness that the officer was closing in on him no matter what. But the same thing happens, just like the Reno shooter takes himself out. I mean, so tragic. Taking someone else's life or altering their life and then taking themselves out to leave a mess behind and the questions of why does someone go that far? What is it that pushes someone to that wall? And it brings up the other questions of training teachers to use guns, training administrators to use guns, having them armed, the ones that are comfortable, or coming up with some other plan equally as good as far as being able to fight back with somebody. Because by the time, even if they're quick, you have police that respond, they cannot remotely get there as quickly as somebody who's already on the campus. But is this the answer? Because there are so many people that feel, if you have the guns, then that's not really going to stop what's happening. But I think if you catch them by surprise, it would. If there's random fire and somebody else is armed, of course, see what's going to happen. Look at the armed guard. In this case, the armed guard kept Pearson from continuing the rampage. And that was certainly on your mind. We're checking the mailbag next here on America Tonight.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs understands the importance of supplementing with glucosamine and chondroitin for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends Glucogel from Youngevity.
Get on the Glucogel caps from Youngevity. They're a great way to treat arthritis and any kind of joint issues. And oh, by the way, glucosamine is great for helping support the vascular system, the blood vessel system too. So you'll get multiple benefits from the Glucogel caps. You'll be able to treat your arthritis and joints as well as the circulatory system. And also the Glucogel caps can help prevent wrinkles. The Glucogel caps support collagen synthesis.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your joint, circulatory system, and skin health by ordering Glucogel from Youngevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com Order today.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
Get past the people, get past the human man.
Each and every show here on America Tonight, I say, listen, you want to get a hold of us? You can't dial the digits. You're in the middle of your third shift. You're listening, but cannot do that call. Send us an email. AmericaTonight.net, click on contact, and you're in just like that. Let your thoughts flow, and you certainly do that. So without further ado, let's not waste any time and stand on ceremony. Let's go check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Maggie says, Ed Snowden is a hero. I'm 25 years old, I have to say. He's got big ones, if you know what I mean, Kate. I really, truly do believe that he was outraged by what he was seeing, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to scrape this stuff off, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to release it. Knowing full well that if he went to someone above him, they would just shut him down anyway, and there's no way that would have seen the light of day. Now it'll be interesting to see more of the fallout. Bravo to the judge and his ruling. Go, Supremes, go. Thanks for the email. I don't think we've ever heard from her before. Yes, Supremes, it'll go up to the Supremes probably in maybe next June or maybe in the fall. It might be in the fall, it depends. But it's going to be a big story, obviously, because what the ruling is here would affect what the NSA does. As far as procedure, they say is completely legal. That's what the Justice Department is saying so far at this point. By culling the information, the data, and putting it in one place. So anyway, that's what the NSA, that's what the Justice Department says. They're not really backing down off of that. But if the Supremes say, oh, it's not so, then that will change. Joe had the same thoughts. I just turned 30, and it sickens me to think, I don't know why, in one sense I don't care, but it sickens me in the same breath to say that I certainly don't trust this government. to thwart terrorism, Kate, and doing it by calling any of our conversations is just asinine. How much money are they wasting on this nonsense? And they want to regulate what people do in their personal lives, because I think that's where we're headed. No longer are you the kook on the corner when you think the government is spying on you, because, oh boy, it's true. I don't think that's going to last very long as far as the information collected on the cell phones, because the people in technology don't want to lose the money. Good point. They don't want to lose the money. In fact, that was one of the things that happened during the day. The president met with Google and Facebook and all those people, and that was their concern, that people, American people, think, well, why would you give them access to our information? And they're saying they don't want to be perceived that way because that's not what they're doing. And they want to send a message, hey, this is not where we're, it's not our problem. It's not where we're headed. We want it to stop. They even, remember, took out a full-page ad. It was in a bunch of newspapers, including the USA Today, maybe about 2 weeks ago. So, no, they don't want it either. They don't want to be attached to it because it's critical to their business. If you don't think you're entitled to the privacy, then why are you going to be on Google or Yahoo or any of those? You'll just figure out another way. And that's happening more and more for fear of having yourself compromised. And no matter what they say about the, let's be honest about this, no matter what they say about the metadata and whatnot, the bottom line is your information is stored for, 5 years, and then they dump it. Do you really trust that? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Here's one from Sabi. And Sabi says, I've been listening to America Tonight now for a couple of years, on and off. I say on and off because sometimes I work during the day, sometimes I work at night. And it depends on whether I have enough time or not, because I've been pretty busy lately. I'm so tired of people going into hospitals, schools, churches, wherever, and shooting people. What is wrong with the world? Can't you just settle it in a different way? Revenge is a dish better served cold. And I don't think guns and going after people in this manner is the right way to do it. I know a lot of people in your audience are probably pro-gun, and I know that you say you're a defender of the Second Amendment, but I say grab the guns, grab them. Because really, how many people can we stand to see shot when they're standing at the donuts counter in their place of work? It's just outrageous. All right, you've said it. I am all for the Second Amendment. I do not carry a gun, but I think you don't want to take rights away. When you have rights, especially that one, when you have rights that have been there for however, how many years have we had the right to bear arms? You know, think of how old the country is. I don't think you want to go the opposite way. Plus, I don't think guns kill people. I know it sounds like a little cliche. If somebody wants their revenge, they'll get that revenge with an X-Acto knife, with some other form of wire hanger, whatever. If they have the rage and they want to go after someone, maybe it's a little different than in these mass shootings, which I think are horrific. And no matter what is the motive behind it, who cares? The person is wrong beyond belief and deserves to get the death penalty, if only they wouldn't kill themselves right before they get cuffed or knocked to the ground. There's one guy, and that's in the movie theater shooting, who faces the music. Everybody else bails. And that's the big problem. So no, I don't think it's guns. I don't. In fact, I think if you had, let's put it this way. If there was some kind of an attack and I was in a mall or a place, I would pray that someone around me had a concealed and carry that that was comfortable, that knew a firearm, that was an off-duty police officer, whatever, because they could save my life. Now, am I relying on other people? I don't think you put in your mind I'm relying on other people, and I hope that none of us ever find ourselves in that situation. But for goodness sake, we don't want to just say, well, let the criminals have guns, because let me tell you, if they want a gun, you can get it on the black market so easy. It's so easy to get a gun. So if we completely went the crazy route and just did without guns, period, which will never happen, it would be disastrous. It would be epically disastrous. No kidding. How about this budget? The budget bill finally cleared one of the big Senate tests. So the compromise bill will most likely, to avoid the automatic spending cuts, will probably be passed pretty easy. So it goes through the House last week, and it's ripping through the Senate, even though there was a call for a filibuster. That didn't happen. So is it? Do we get the worst of the worst in this deal? Yeah, it's not a great deal. It's not. Look under the hood. Democrats, really, deep down, they're not liking it. Republicans, deep down, they're not liking it. What are you cutting? What are you leaving? Democrats don't like the unemployment that's not pushed further down, you know, extending it even more. And Republicans don't like the fact that we're just diving in deeper, which is what's happening. And in 2 years, it'll be the same conversation again. Wow, we got to come up with a budget. We had budget meetings, but we couldn't come up with an agreement. So let's hope the government doesn't shut down. That's why we're in these committee meetings. And we're going to figure out what the solution is so that we don't have to be in a shutdown mode. So this conversation, we could just tape this and pull it off the shelf in 2 years from now, because that's what we're going to have again. I hate to be cynical, because, boy, I'm really not a cynical person. But it's the same thing. Since I've been doing talk radio, this is the same thing we've seen over and over again here on America Tonight. The same conversation, some of the same faces, the same points of view. And it doesn't change. There's no thought to this process, and that's what's so bad. They need to think this out way ahead of time. Imagine that. Let's get ahead of the budget and actually plan it out, like real people have to do when they want to buy something, when they want to put money to save away for their kids' colleges, when they have to get a new car, whatever it is, they budget for it. Maybe we just need a new word, and we need to get rid of the word budget. Jeff Cass up next, talking about mass shootings. He was one of the first people on the scene, reporter-wise, in Columbine.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified, super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123 FreeSeeds.com.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Obviously, for the last couple of days at least, and we've talked to him before. What I'm referring to is Colorado, and here we go again with another school shooting. Jeff Cass joins us, and you probably read his stuff all over the place, whether it's the Christian Science Monitor, Newsday, U.S. News and World Report. He's popped up all over the place, and he's become an expert in mass shootings, and especially school mass shootings. And as I said, here we go again. Jeff was actually one of the first reporters on the scene at Columbine. And I mentioned this, we talked to him before. Good to have you back on the show again. Unfortunately, sad circumstances, but Jeff, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
The situation this time around with the kid that went into the school who had a machete and Molotov cocktails and 125 rounds of ammunition, Are we starting to learn more about Carl Pearson, this 18-year-old who ultimately ended up killing himself? What do we know now about him?
Well, I mean, I think one of the key things is that this attempted murder was targeted. You know, what we're hearing is that he had a specific issue with a debate teacher / librarian. It was the same person. And he was after him. That's who, versus, you know, something like Columbine or the Aurora Theater shooting where, you know, everybody was a target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there seems to have been a specific grudge here.
Do you, in the I mean, here it is, Colorado, though, obviously the proximity. So that had to, at least for some people, it had to freak them out. Because when it, as you know this in covering these things, you don't know what it is when it first happens. There's all this speculation and there's lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. Would you say, especially in Colorado, because of Columbine, because of other things that have happened across the country, that schools there react pretty quickly when something happens and they don't know exactly what's going on?
I mean, I think it's everywhere. I think schools everywhere these days are preparing for Columbine-type situations. And, you know, I mean, we have Newtown last year. We just had the one-year anniversary of that. I think everywhere schools are preparing for an attack.
Yeah. In this situation, like you say, this was a targeted deal. Didn't know that in the beginning. That's what parents weren't sure. So it's that familiar scene of kids getting out of the school, their hands up, some of them, and the lockdown that I mentioned, and all the parents, as many that could get there, getting in if they could, if they're getting out of work and whatnot. What do you think the key thing is when unfortunately something like this happens? I mean, is it all about the time as quickly as the response is, the better? Or what's the most critical thing that happens once there's been a shooting at a school?
I mean, it's hard to say because you have a lot of things going on that, you know, the different people are doing. For example, the students and the teachers are going to be locking the classroom door, turning out the lights, and going into corners away from the door. You have, you know, you could have students and teachers also calling 911, or you could have, you know, if there's an officer already at the school, that officer may be pursuing the shooter, as was the case, apparently at Arapahoe. The on-campus officer started, I'm not sure the shooter knew it, but there was an officer pursuing him, and that officer, whoever's on school already, may be notifying other officers. So you've got different people doing different things, potentially.
Yeah. We're talking with Jeff Cass, and his book is Columbine, a true crime story. And as you said, the differences between, you know, what we saw at Aurora, the movie theater, too, and obviously Newtown, what would have happened there, and Columbine, different than this particular situation. But unfortunately, there's a victim in the middle of this fighting for her life, and apparently just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. The bullet hits her and whatnot. And what are the people there saying about that? It seems like there's just an outpouring of people trying to help the family, and even Pearson's family releasing a statement. Am I right?
Yeah, and, you know, I will say that's, you know, the statement being released is, it's a common thing. It's almost routine now. That's what the parents do. They don't tend to so much give a press conference and answer a lot of questions and in-depth questions. You can say less and get away with a lot less by just issuing a statement. If I was in their position, I'm not sure I'd hold a press conference either. But as far as, you know, are we really getting answers from these statements? I don't think we're getting any deep answers right now.
Yeah. As you did this in looking for your book and what, and you're talking about getting deep answers, what would you say for a mass shooter? What is it that makes them, I don't know, what is it that makes them tick? I don't even know what the word is I'm looking for, but we're trying to wrap our arms around how this happens and how some people can say, well, they were a loner, but they didn't seem like that. Or no, they were kind of an oddball and they never really fit in. I mean, is there a common thread in those scenarios?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the key motive behind the shooters is revenge. You know, in this case, it appears the teacher was targeted, although, as you point out, an innocent bystander sort of got deliberately shot. You know, the girl was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it seems like he still made a conscious decision to shoot her. But whether or not we know there's a specific target or not, The idea is revenge. These shooters are angry. They're either at someone particularly or at society as a whole. And that's why, you know, they will shoot indiscriminately into a movie theater throughout Columbine High School when that happened in 1999, you know, throughout Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut. It just, everybody is a target because their anger is against the whole world.
I know. And what do you do when you're a school administrator? What do you do when you're a superintendent? This has to be part of the discussion, I'm certain.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you read the news clips on Arapaho, and these kids are saying, yeah, we've trained for this scenario. And it's the same across the country. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, like, every single school across the country has done these drills. What happens if a mass shooter or a gunman enters the school? But more and more are doing it since Columbine, and they continue to do it.
Yeah, boy, sad state of affairs. I'll tell you, at least it's good that they're doing something to prevent this. And it brings up that question. We don't know how many and what specifically they're necessarily doing in all these schools, but what are some of the key things that have to happen to, I don't know, to try to prevent violence? I mean, what are the things that possibly can happen to stop this?
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's spot on because my book is actually being re-released in April for the 15-year anniversary of Columbine. And the afterword of my book is the story of a school shooting that was prevented in a city about an hour north of Denver called Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I use that in the afterword is because the key way to prevent mass shootings, whether it's at a school or a workplace or wherever, is if somebody can catch the warning signs of the shooter before it happens. And there typically are some sort of warning signs. I'm not saying it's easy to figure it out in the moment because people say a lot of things and you say, yeah, whatever, he's just kidding. But if you are able to catch that somebody really is angry and really does want to pick up a gun, you know, when they say, hey, I want to kill this guy, if you are able to recognize that threat or just think something is weird, tell authorities.
Yeah, and if people did that, they noticed something, maybe there's more Fort Collinses out there, and what a better scenario that would be to be talking about that, what was prevented, instead of, you know, ultimately what happened. And there is no real, since you've seen this with Columbine, you know, whether you're talking about a high school, we saw what happened in Newtown, and that's was an elementary school, the kid sadly so young. I mean, really, it can happen anywhere, right?
Yeah, and it is.
Mm.
I mean, you know, you can look at a map. It's, you know, you have the Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Mm. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
it's sad.
It does sound sad, doesn't it? It can happen anywhere. You're right. You look at a map. And like I said, I'll say it again. Let's hope there's more Fort Collins if these things have to happen. And I'd much rather that we're talking about that preventing something from happening than something actually happening. All right, we'll look for that re-release then again of your book. Jeff Pass, thanks so much. And the book is called Columbine, A True Crime Story. Thanks for coming on ATN again.
Yeah, thank you too.
Thanks, bye-bye.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine.
We're making the final turn here on this hour of America tonight. And it's interesting, we mixed in conversation, obviously, here about what you just heard, talking with Jeff about Jeff Cass, about this situation in Colorado and what futuristically we can look forward to. And hopefully, as I said several times there, more of the media covering, wow, really dodged that one, because guess what? They stopped it before it happened. Unfortunately, too often it's the opposite of what we're talking about. And I think the one good thing is the more conversation, the more awareness, the more plans, the more students are aware, the more school districts are involved in it, the greater possibilities that things can be stopped before, or the person can be stopped before something catastrophic happens at a school and we don't have any more Newtown, Connecticut's, or Columbines, or even the situation the other day in Colorado, and randomly this innocent girl gets hit, and now her family praying day in and day out, not even wanting to move from her side, hoping that she's able to pull through this. Changing gears for a second, the one thing we haven't talked about too much this version of America tonight, so we need to hit it on the exit, is snow. Earlier in the week, and I didn't realize this, snow covered more than half of the continental United States, the weather people say. So it's the highest this measure's reached for this date in a decade. That's what the government scientists are saying anyway. Snow covering 53% of the lower 58. Oh, my, oh, my. That's a giant chunk of real estate, isn't it? And in comparison, for example, in 2006, snow covered just 12% of the lower 48 states on the same date, meaning December. We'll just pick December 15th. And it's been crazy. Cold weather has been rampant across the Midwest. Not that they're not used to the cold, but the temperatures in some other areas have been very strange, too. And now we're talking about the possibility of more snow, more conditions at the tail end of the week, getting closer to Christmas. And I think I said this on the last show. Listen, if ever there was a time to have snow and you're going to have to deal with it, the best time to deal with it is when it's Christmas. Let's just figure that out right now. So if I live in Illinois, if I live in Minnesota, if I live in Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, any of the places where I know there's a good probability and they're talking about the right temperatures hitting, I'm going to say I don't mind. I'm going to say I want to see that snow on Christmas versus all the other days that we've been being hammered by it during the year. Because if you can stay in and you're just hanging with your family, you don't have to travel too far outside of the realm, you know, you're in your kind of your bubble. How awesome would that be just to be able to look out the window and see it all coming down? Keep that in mind as you're running around trying to get all your packages. You might want to speed some things up depending on where you live even a little bit more. Hey, in California and in Georgia, they have plenty of money to spend, at least two people. Maybe there's more because it could have been a group ticket. But the Mega Millions lottery was up to $636 million. Ooh, crazy, isn't it? So that's where the tickets came from. Who the people are and all the scenarios at this point, we do not know. Guarantee we will know probably in the next couple of days. Maybe it's going to be a cool story about some people that worked together and they all went in, chipped in, and now they split up the earnings because the number is so high that you'd still get a pretty good chunk of change depending on how many, you know, depending on how many people were in that group. So, yeah. You know, there's another chance to win, too. And we had Olivier Picasso on the show 2 weeks ago. Somebody on the 18th will win a Picasso. And it's just like being struck by lightning, almost like Mega Millions. However, not quite as bad. Your chance is a little bit better. Because they sold 55,000 tickets. So Wednesday, that charity raffle happens, and the Picasso is said to be worth $1 million, and a ticket for that was $137, and the work was called The Man with the Opera Hat, and he signs, you can see his signature pretty clearly, Pablo Picasso in the upper right-hand corner of the work, and it's they sold these tickets for either 100 euros, which translates into $137, and somebody's going to walk away with this because with the amount of tickets they sold, it still is, your chances are still a little bit better. And the idea, the reason they did this, if you remember, if you didn't hear the conversation we had with Olivier, was the fact that they're trying to save a city in Tyre, the city called Tyre, in southern Lebanon. It's getting just bombed and shellacked, and it's an ancient city that's got all kinds of artwork and whatnot, and not to mention local people there, and it's killing them. And this money, the money that they raised from the Picasso, they say would go towards creating an institute for artists for studying and creating handcraft village work to provide employment for the women and the people in that area. What a terrific idea to do that. The Picasso family giving up a Picasso because Olivier donated it, and somebody else is going to win somebody's going to win that. Somebody's going to walk away with that Picasso, which is actually pretty incredible if you think about it. Better chances than the Mega Millions. But here's the interesting thing. Depending on who wins it, it's not going to be, you know, the art people who have a ton of money and will make bids on Picassos and whatnot when they come up at these private auctions. Now you could have any Joe Schmo that got a ticket could win this Picasso, and could they really have it on the wall in their house? I mean, really, come over and see my Picasso. And they wouldn't want to advertise that fact because that'd be $1 million hanging on your wall. So I would have to think that whoever wins it would almost definitely turn around and sell it probably pretty quickly because they wouldn't, what would they do? They couldn't hang on to it, I think, in a situation where they would plop it next to their prints. I mean, I don't think so. Maybe they could display it for a while at their whatever the local art museum was, no matter where it is. And it does have to be the United States because there were plenty of people in France and Europe and other and elsewhere who bought tickets to this. So it might not be an American. It could be just about anyone. Anybody who picked up a few of those tickets, they may be a pretty lucky winner, and it'd be a good Christmas for them. And you can guarantee that there's going to be an avalanche of publicity on that. As I said, with the lottery, there are some states, I can't remember the states, but there are some states where you don't have to say, you know, they don't have to reveal the name. You're not required to do that. But most of the states you do. It's written in the fine print on the back of the ticket that you agree to the publicity. You agree to have your name released. And, of course, especially with a huge jackpot, everybody's salivating to find out who that person is. So that's probably what they're trying to figure out in California and Georgia, or the person, is, since they just won it, will come forward either right away or they'll take a couple of weeks to get their ducks in a row if it's just single people versus if it's a whole group. If it's a whole group of people, that could happen pretty quickly, I would think. Who knows? Maybe somebody right now listening to America Tonight is holding the winning ticket, $636 million for Mega Millions. Just absolutely crazy in the lines today. People all over the place lining up where they were sold to get a chance at the big lottery. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.